Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Pick and Pop podcast. As always, I'm your host, Luke Sicari, and we come at you today, very special edition of the Pick and Pop podcast. The NBL season is less than a week away. It all tips off Thursday night in Adelaide, 36ers taking on Melbourne United. A massive season ahead. It's been a big off-season for the NBL. We all know they're travelling to the NBA and to America in a couple of weeks as well. But we're going to run through team by team.
Next week.
I might as well introduce him now. Damien Arcet is from thepickandroll.com.au. He's on the other line. He's very eager to jump in, as you can tell. Damo, how are you?
Very good, mate, and it's great time of the year. WNBL and NBL start this week, and of course, the NBL really kicks off this week with the Sydney Kings taking on the Jazz over in Utah.
Yep.
But on Thursday,
Kings have landed.
Yeah, that's right. And but really, the season proper kicks off on Thursday night, and what a big season it promises! Lots of big ins for the NBL this year.
Yeah, and we'll kick it right off. We'll start right off the top of the bat with a team that definitely shocked me. I'm not sure if it shocked the league, but I was surprised by them last season. The Adelaide 36ers finish on top after a poor start to the season. They finish on top, lost in the first week of the finals, though, to the Hawks. We take a look at this team, Damo, and I mean, Jerome Randall's not there. So it's hard to look past when you get the MVP not returning, how much of an impact that has. So I look at the Adelaide 36ers, okay, Randall's gone, so who steps up? Is it Daniel Johnson? Daniel Johnson had some massive games last year. Does he take on some added responsibility? Nathan Sobey's the one for mine. We all saw how good he was last year, but you have to mention that was with Randall taking off some attention off him. Now you look at the 36ers lineup, and I reckon a lot of opposition teams will say Nathan Sobey's the guy we've got to shut down. So how will he deal with some added defensive attention from the opposition? Mitch Creek, we know he is a weapon. He's very versatile. And then you look at the imports. Ronald Roberts. Take a look at some of his leaping ability on YouTube, Damo. It's absolutely unbelievable. The guy can jump. Ramon Moore comes in from Melbourne United. Now, we all know we saw a bit of him last year before he got hurt. He can score, but he's very inconsistent and can be inefficient at times. We'll have a look at him coming off the bench, I would imagine, for the Adelaide 36ers. They've signed Shannon Shorter as well from the French league. So I look at his team, Damo, I look at Adelaide, and I just think, without Randall, how's it going to gel? Who's going to be the next guy under him to step up and take on that added responsibility?
Well, look, the ball handling duties, we're going to see probably Moore and Shorter are going to handle. Well, they're going to want the ball in their hands quite a bit, as is Nathan Sobey. Nathan Sobey's more of an off guard, though. He's not going to be the primary ball handler there. But you mentioned Daniel Johnson. I think he needs to replicate the form he had last year. You got Matt Hodgson as well. So if you're talking Ronald Roberts coming in as an input, you got Hodgson, who was playing for the Boomers in the off-season.
Who had a big off-season. Really, big off-season, Matty Hodgson.
Off-season. Yeah. He really took a step up.
Yeah.
They've got Sobey. They've got Mitch Creek. Of course, Creek and Sobey spent time in NBA Summer League as well with the Jazz. So I think, you know, so they're Australian talent. When you throw in Anthony Drimmick, who's had an absolute blinder off-season as well in the South Australian Premier League, he was nothing short of sensational. So he's really shown that he's thrown...
Majuk Deng's still there.
Yeah, Majuk Deng, yeah, he's still there. So they've got some amazing Australian talent. Now, if these Americans, the three that we mentioned, if they can come on and provide immediately, we're talking about a championship contender here.
Yes, but I still reserve my doubts because I reckon their Australian talent's unbelievable. I just don't know how much, and this is take nothing away, but if you look at any team across the competition, if you take out their best player, I look at the flow-on effect. So, okay, Randall's out. How does this affect Johnson? How does this affect Sobey? How does this affect Creek and all those type of guys? So maybe someone like Shorter or Roberts or maybe Ramon Moore will have a massive step up in his efficiency and his production. Maybe they fill in the Jerome Randall role. Maybe Nathan Sobey has another step forward and he becomes the Jerome Randall of this team. So that's what I'm looking for the Adelaide 36ers. It's the flow and effect without their best player. How does that influence the rest of the roster? We'll move on. The Brisbane Bullets. Now, this is a side that it was a trying year. I think it's safe to say in their first year back in the NBL. They finished last. They went 10-18. Now, they've brought in some names that NBL fans will be very, very familiar with. So Travis Trice comes in from the Cairns Taipans. Stephen Holt-Damo, the ex-Melbourne United guard. He spent a year in the Czech Republic. Now he is back in the NBL. What do you expect from Stephen Holt? You know, this is a guy, when he played for Melbourne a couple of years ago, he had explosive scoring ability. Brisbane kind of need that. They need Stephen Holt
They need scoring.
Yeah, they need Stephen Holt to do what he did with Melbourne a couple of years ago. So looking forward to that. Perron Buffett as well. He comes in from the Italian league. He's their other import. Big, big watch for the Bullets, of course, is Cam Burstow, who's still out, obviously, with his knee injury, his ACL injury. Probably, I mean, speaking to Andre Lemanis months ago, he said he's on track, but that doesn't mean he's progressed any further than he was in the initial stages. So probably an early 2018 return for Cam Burstow. He's going to miss most of the season. He's going to miss most of the season.
And even then, when he comes back, he's going to take time to get back to anywhere near where he was. So, you know, but look, there's some good pieces to this team, but unfortunately for Brisbane, they haven't got the same level of quality
as
some of these other NBL teams. And that's not taking anything away from someone like Dan Kickett, who had a brilliant off-season with the Boomers.
Yeah, he had a brilliant season with the Bullets last year. Yeah,
well, just in general. And I think they've got a great young talent in Matt Kenyon as well. Yep. Great young Australian talent. You know, Turangi's a great player as well. But the rest of them, and this includes Adam Gibson, Anthony Petrie, Mitch Young, Tom Jervis. These guys are rock solid NBL players.
They're not much more.
I'm not going to say that they're not much more, because they've been great players and they will continue to be great players. But it's just not the same star quality. They don't have the same scoring power. And I think this is where they're going to have to be your workmanlike team to succeed, to get anywhere near the finals. And unfortunately, I think, even given how strong and how even the NBL is this year, they're going to struggle to make the finals, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think I agree. The interesting thing when I look at the Bullets is, obviously, they've still got Lemanis in the head coaching role. And we all know how Andre's offense is. It's very predicated on ball movement. It's underpinned by some really nice set plays. But they only look nice when they work. So you look at the Bullets, it's a very complicated system at times. When it doesn't work, it really doesn't. There's no real out. So I look at someone like a Travis Trice and a Stephen Holt. I'm like, can they be your fallback offensive options? They can go into a one-on-one situation with 10 seconds left on the shot clock if a play breaks down and get you a basket. They didn't have that last year. So I wonder if Trice, who showed some of it at Cairns, but he was inconsistent at it, and maybe Stephen Holt, I wonder if they can be those get-out options for Andre Lemanis. Maybe he has
they're going
to
need it.
Yeah, maybe he tweaks his offense because they're there to suit more of his players. I mean, who knows? Who knows? We'll see how the Brisbane Bullets shape up. Move on to Travis Trice's ex-team, the Cairns Taipans.
Now, haven't they overachieved, really, given their size and everything?
The
challenges they've had, they've overachieved over the years. And
it's unreal.
They keep finding a way to get to finals.
It's unreal. And you look at their team, like I said, finished second last year, lost in the semis against the eventual champions, Perth Wildcats. Now, look at the Cairns Taipans, Damon, the one stat that just shines brightly for mine. And this is the one area, one element of their game. If they want to get to that next level in terms of, we all know they overachieve all the time, but can they win? Can they win the ultimate prize? Because they've been very close so often. So you got to feel the next step is that next prize. Where does the scoring come from? We know they're going to defend. We know they're going to fight. They're going to grit. Who scores? Who scores for Aaron Ferns, man? Over the past six seasons, they've finished bottom three in the league for points per game. So no matter all the imports they've tried, you know, they're going to try Scoochie Smith this season, Michael Chiara.
What a name. That's just Scoochie. Come on.
It's absolutely unbelievable. Can he be the one that stops these scoring woes? Because for mine, we talk about the NBA, there's so much talent, there's so much individual offensive talent in this competition. You need it to win. I just don't know. I don't know where it's going to come from for Cairns. Unless one of the imports bring it. From Cam Glidden. Cam Glidden's a massive tease for mine. He always shows he can do it, but then I'd just love to see him just aggressively take over games on more consistent basis. Cam Glidden, I'd love to see that.
I think both him and McCarron are the keys here.
Yeah.
If an import like Smith, like Egwuruk, the big fella, if these guys can come in and provide some good, consistent scoring, they don't need to come in and score 20 points a game. They just need to make sure they're delivering their 10 to 12 to 13 points a game then I think this team, with Cam Glidden leading the way and McCarron, those two, and of course, Nathan Jawai plays a big role here too.
Yeah.
Because really, he has a great mid-range game as well. He's got great touch for a big guy. And if he can combine really well with Egwu, then I think they're a really strong chance to do what they've done every year, and it just makes the finals. So, but have they got the class to challenge for a championship? And I think that's your question.
Yeah, I think it is. Because like I said, we all know what the Taipans are going to bring. They're going to bring the defensive spirit to the game. They're going to fight. They're going to be a grit and grind outfit. But I don't think that's enough to win you a championship because the league's too talented for that. So
And what does Carrera bring? Michael Carrera, of course, is coming to the team too.
Yeah, he's a bit of a versatile weapon. He's a tall, he's a bit undersized, but makes up for it in his strength and his aggressiveness. So we'll have a look at that. Not sure how much scoring he's going to bring. He definitely fits the mold of a Cairns Taipans player. So he fits the mold for Aaron Ferns. So we'll see how he progresses moving forward. We'll move on to the Hawks. This is another team that seems to not really overachieve, but they're always there. They're another team under Rob Beveridge. You know what you're going to get. They've still got Rodney Clark, Mard and White. AJ Ogilvie continues his excellence, his continued excellence as always. You look at who they've brought in. Demetrius Konga, he comes in from the Belgium League, and Dalvin Johnson comes in from the Swedish League. The Hawks are a team that always, I look at the Hawks, Damon, they're not really a team that relies on their imports that much because their core's always that good of AJ Ogilvie, like I mentioned, Reese Martin, Kevin White, Rodney Clark, who came back last year, didn't miss a beat. He's back. Nick Kay showed some great progression last year. Cody Ellis is as solid as they get. Mitch Norden. I look at the Hawks and I say, hey, I've got no reason to doubt this team. I've got absolutely...
Yeah, well, Norton and Kay, as an example, those two guys alone, they were playing for the Boomers in the off-season, winning a FIBA Asia Cup.
Yeah.
So these guys, I'm expecting those two in particular to take another step up. They've still got a guy like Oscar Foreman at his size and ability to knock down the three ball. This team is dangerous from beyond the three-point line.
Oh, yeah.
You know, especially with Clark there as well.
Especially under Rob Beveridge.
100%. So... Cody Ellis has proven he can stretch teams as well with his three-point shooting. So if Konga comes in with Johnson and those two guys in particular can make a bit of an impact, they don't need to be a star. They just need to be solid, rock solid. Then this team could do what they've done again. And we talked about Cairns. Well, Cairns and Illawarra, there's just a similarity of how they're able to get the most out of their players, the most out of their Australian talent, and just find a way to get to the postseason.
There's just something about these two sides in the Hawks and the Taipans, Damo. No matter what happens in the offseason, no matter how improved on paper the other six sides of the competition look, these two teams are almost like they're the backbone of the competition. They don't have as much money as your Melbourne or your Sydney's or your Perth, nor do they have as much national media attention, but they just find a way. You know, they find the way to get things done. So I'm looking forward to watching the Hawks and Taipans do that again this year. We'll move on to a team that has no choice but to get it done this year. I mean, we speak about how the Taipans and the Hawks don't have a lot of mainstream attention and whatnot. Well, this team's the complete opposite. This team is the face of the competition. And there's been poor season after poor season for Melbourne United. And they have to get it done this year. You know,
Just came out during the week.
Yeah.
Basically said, you know, this is as good a team as you're ever going to see in the NBL.
Yeah, it is absolutely. Like the names on the list, I mean, we might as well run through them quickly. Chris Golding, of course. Casey Prayford comes in. Casper Ware, David Anderson, Ty Wesley, Majuk, Craig Moller, who Andrew Gaze had absolutely massive raps for over the offseason. Dave Barlow, Josh Boone returns. We saw how big of an X factor he was back end of last year. They would have had Daniel Dillon if he didn't get hurt. Peter Hooley comes in to replace him. Mate, this team for mine, and actually I should mention the biggest addition of them all is probably Dean Vickerman, the head coach,
100%.
Comes in to replace Dean Demopoulos, who was a bit indifferent during his time in the NBL. You look at Dean Vickerman, this is a guy who's been around the block in the NBL for years. He's been exposed to NBL success, massive respect across the competition. Maybe he's the one that gets this team to gel. You know, Dean Vickerman's walked into an absolute war chest of talent here. How does he get it all to blend?
Oh, I like that analogy, a war chest of talent, because it is. You've got an absolute superstar of Australian basketball and David Anderson leading the way. The evergreen David Anderson.
Yeah, gets better with age.
Unfortunately, he got injured at the FIBA Asia Cup, and really, you know, he came home early, so that was a bit unfortunate. But you know, he returns a fit and firing David Anderson, is as good as you're going to see for his position. But Kyle Adnam as well, what development we've seen from him. He played for the Boomers in the off season at the FIBA Asia Cup as well, and was really, I'm sorry, at the World University Games, I'll take that back, World Uni Games, and he was quite impressive at times in that competition. But then David Barlow, you know, if he can stay fit and actually get on the court, his three-point shooting and length is going to cause problems defensively for other teams. And, you know, how are you going to fit all these guys on the court? Because you go, Ty Wesley, Majuk, Casey Prather, what an addition to the team. Casper Ware, of course, played in France with David Anderson as well. So they've got a connection going there. And Peter Hooley comes in as one of the hottest players out of the SEABL. And he really has earned that spot and has continued to go from strength to strength. So you mentioned Bickerman. He is the key here. If he can bring this team together, balance out the egos, get them playing together, which has always been the problem at Melbourne teams. There have been stacked teams, but getting them to play with each other and for each other in a consistent system is the key. But if he can get anywhere near that, this is the team to beat.
And for mine, that is a massive question, Damo. Like you mentioned, we saw a lot of it last year. Absolutely stacked roster. I mean, we know Chris Golding has had his injury concerns, so hopefully we see him back in the court for a full season, fully fit. But we saw a lot of the time it was my turn, your turn with him and Casper Ware. There wasn't a lot of system to their offense. It was a lot of very stagnated. Now, how much of that was Dean Demopoulos or how much of that was the players? Well, I guess we're going to find out this year.
Well, with Dean Demopoulos, we saw no system, let's be honest.
Yeah,
and if there
we did
a system, it certainly wasn't embraced by the players.
Yeah. So there was a clear disconnect there. There was a disconnect.
But Dean Bickerman's had success previously, so let's see what he can do because he has the most talented lineup in the league.
Yeah, and look, like I mentioned off the top, they just have to get it done, you know. Unless there's a slew of injuries to everyone, there's no excuses for Melbourne United. And I think
team prepared to cover for injuries, it's Melbourne United.
Yeah, and I think they embrace that as well. They embrace that tag. They know they're the favourites, and so does the whole competition. So we'll see how they go. We'll move on to a team that missed the playoffs last year, which was an unusual feeling for the New Zealand Breakers. They don't miss the playoffs. Don't miss the playoffs often. I've got a sneaky feeling it might happen again this year. So they've brought in James Hunter, Ed Kososa, and DJ Newbill. We mentioned about the Hawks before, how they don't really rely on their imports that much. I look at the Breakers, and I think guys like Sosa and Newbill, who will come into the backcourt, they have to have a massive impact for this team. So Kirk Penny's still there, but I look at the point guard position. Shea Early might feel some of those minutes, but it's probably going to be Sosa coming in to start at the point guard spot. So he comes straight in, so you're already handing the reins to an import. Oh, look at the Breakers. You know, Alex Pledger's still there. Mika Vekona, the Aegis Mika Vekona. Tom Abercrombie, of course. Rob Lowe can stretch the floor, but they need a lot out of these new guys in New Zealand Breakers.
Yeah, it's their backcourt that's their weakness now. At the end of the day, while Penny's there, you know, he still provides some scoring, but he hasn't got the legs he once had. He can still shoot the ball, no doubting, but he hasn't got the pace to run with them anymore. And to a degree, he's a bit of a liability defensively for them. But Alex Pledger, Vekona, Lowe, Abercrombie, they're still a very good front court.
They are.
And they've got a good backup now in Hunter, who's shown some promise in New Zealand NBL. But really, it's their backcourt. So you're spot on the money for mine. It's their import that are going to have to lift.
Yeah.
While Illy is serviceable, he's not a star in this league, and certainly he can do a great job as a backup to one of those imports in particular if they can step up to the plate.
Yeah, I mean, Finn Delaney's a young kid that's going to be fun to watch. We saw him develop at the back end of last season into a really, really useful player for the New Zealand Breakers. Positive for New Zealand, we all know their home court advantage is the two home courts they play at across the ocean. That's always a massive factor for the Breakers. So that's going to work in their favour, but it's a very experienced and older list. Now, is that a positive or a negative in the condensed season? Who knows? We're just going to need to wait and see. Move on to a team that, you know, we can rattle off made-up weaknesses, I'll say, for the Perth Wildcats, and they'll just knock us on the head every single time. So, yes, they lost Casey Prather, which is an absolute... We can call it a disaster. We can call it whatever we want. Well, guess what? They're the defending champions, and Bryce Cotton's back. So, and a guy called Damian Martin still plays for Perth Wildcats. So, I don't know how much we want to doubt this team.
You never, ever doubt a Perth Wildcats team. Let's put it that way. But you never, never. Look, at the end of the day, they're going to be there at the end of the year. It's in my opinion, you just can't ever write them off.
Yeah.
You've got Angus Brand. He had a great off-season with the Boomers.
He's an interesting one, Brand. I would love to see him, a bit like Cam Glidden, just take over. You know, just be aggressive in a lot more games and really find some consistency in performance.
You feel it's time, don't you?
Yeah.
You feel he's had his apprenticeship in the NBL. He's been now, this is what, his second club? I think he was at Sydney.
First, so
it's time for him to shine. He's, you know, they've still got Wagstaff. They've still got Martin. They've still got Matty Knight.
Yeah.
Greg High is still there.
Dexter Kurnitz Drew. He showed some positive signs last year.
Yeah, so look, they've got really good signs. It's going to be really interesting. They've got Cotton in, and they've got Derek Cook Jr. And Jean-Pierre Tocotto.
And that's a guy that can jump. He can go.
Let's say he's like a kangaroo on Energizer battery. he can certainly get up. But look, you can never write these guys off. They've got a great role player in Jared Kenny.
Yep.
And Lucas Walker's coming in again, isn't he? I believe.
Yeah, he's coming back, and he's a guy who's always been a plug-in in the NBL for whichever team. You know, if you're going to put him on, he's going to do all the right things.
So, you know, look, experience mixed with talent. So, to me, it comes down to, you know, we saw Casey Prather and what he did for Perth. If they can get Cotton or Derek Cook Jr. or Tocotto, one of these guys to do a similar thing with Prather, well, we're looking at a potential another championship going to Perth.
Yeah, and I think they're going to be right in into the thick of things. A Prather loss is big.
Sorry for jumping in, but you know, for Melbourne, they've got to go through Perth for me.
I think the whole league does.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Prather loss is big, and we'll see how that plays out during the season, but it's the Perth Wildcats. How can we doubt them? Let's move on to a team, the final team in our eight, and then we'll move on to our top four and championship predictions. This is another team similar to Melbourne United. They're one of the NBL's face teams. You know, they're fancy teams. The Sydney Kings, a team they need to be having success. You know, it's in your primary market in Sydney, or one of your primary markets. You need the Kings to be playing good. They have brought in a hell of a lot of new pieces. Todd Blanchfield's a massive in from Melbourne. Perry Ellis, a name that's very familiar to a lot of college basketball fans.
He was a Kansas star.
Yeah, it felt like he played for Kansas for 15 years, Perry Ellis. But he comes in. I want to mention two names to you that you know a lot more.
Follically challenged.
Pardon?
He's follically challenged.
He is, Perry Ellis. Two names I want to touch on, Damo, that I know you've got a very intimate knowledge of. Isaac Humphries and Dane Pannu, who comes in from St. Mary's. What can we expect from these two? You know, they've long-time college players in at Kentucky and St. Mary's. You've seen a lot of them. Can they make an immediate impact?
Well, haven't seen a lot of Humphries, let's be honest.
Yep.
He didn't get a lot of court time at Kentucky.
But when he did get court time, he looked good.
In patches, he looked good.
Yeah.
If he had to look good all the time, he would have got more minutes. And in his last game for Kentucky, there's no doubt it was his best one, and it came in the NCAA tournament. But at the end of the day, Humphries is a great addition to this team. He's a great young seven-footer. He's got an ability to hit mid-range shots as well. So it's going to be really interesting. We've seen in the preseason that he played all the way through, and the Kings were making a habit of going to him, which is great for his development. But, of course, there was none of these other guys were there. There was no Perry Ellis. There was, you know, no Amritel Singh was there as well. So the Indian guy they've just signed. He's going to be a focal point. But again, you've got to look across the league. Who's he going up against, Humphries? Mm. He's going up against men. So he's still a very young guy. I'd expect that he would have a great positive impact. But I think we've got to give him a little bit of time as well.
Yeah.
And it's the same with Dane Pannu. I think he's going to be a role player at best off the bench, because when you look at who else they've got in the scene, they've got Tommy Gallup, they've got Toddy Blanchfield, different position, so to speak, but Blanchfield brings three-point shooting, Pannu doesn't. Pannu's your workhorse. He's the kind of guy that gets in and under and does your hard work. You're not going to see 20 and 10 from him every night, as an example. So, but look, when you're bringing back guys like Kevin Lish, Brad Newley, fit and healthy Brad Newley, we saw what he did in the FIBA Asia Cup. He was just outstanding. So they've got some great talent. And Travis Leslie, Perry Ellis, and Amritel Singh, those guys can I'm not convinced of what Singh can do in this team, in this league. But we've got to give him the opportunity. But Perry Ellis, for me, is going to be the key whether this team can be elite or not.
Exactly. And when you've got the returning core of Kadee, Newley and Lish, I think you're going to be pretty formidable. But this is a team that's probably experienced the most turnover in the competition. How's Andrew Gay is going to get his new pieces to mix straight away? It'll be interesting to watch because they have experienced a lot of turnover. But if you want to look at a three-man core of Kadee, Newley and Lish, I think that's a pretty positive start for any team in the competition. So we'll move on, Damo, our top four predictions. We'll start with yourself.
Oh, dear.
Now, good luck, but I'm going to start with you and then I'll go next. So who you got?
Look, I think it's hard to look past Melbourne.
Yep.
Melbourne, if everything gels, they should be at the top of the table. I think you'll find Perth will be right there with them. And this is where it gets really hard for me. I think the likes of Sydney, Illawarra, Cairns and Adelaide. And I'm going to go with Adelaide finishing third. And then I think if Sydney can stay healthy, they may scrape into fourth over the top of Illawarra and Cairns.
It is tough. So I'm kind of similar. I've gone Melbourne first. You know, we there's question marks there, legitimate question marks based on their history. But talent-wise, talent wins games at the end of the day. You've got to have talent. And they've got the most of it. So I'm going Melbourne first, Perth second because it's the Perth Wildcats. I'm going the Hawks third. I still really like their core mix of players. I reckon they're going to be a strong unit. And similarly, I've gone the Sydney Kings fourth. I reckon the Sydney Kings can make a play. I kind of feel... They're not in the Melbourne United bracket of that they have to, but they've got a lot of talent, Amo. So you wouldn't want to see another poor season. They were very indifferent last year, so you want to see some positive stuff from the Sydney Kings. Who you got winning it all?
Well, again, if it all clicks like we think it should under Vickham, it'll be Melbourne.
Yeah,
they
agree.
Lose. At the end of the day, they lose this. You know, they're arguably the most talented team ever to not lose a championship. And that's not taking away from any other team in the history of the NBL. It's just I don't think we've seen a talent-laden team like this one ever.
Yep, and I agree. And they all kick it off. They kick it off in Adelaide on Thursday night, of course, with the start of the official NBL season. Adelaide 36ers, Melbourne United, 7:30 Australian Eastern Standard Time, Fox Sports. And all coverage of that game and all the other games in the NBL this year, comprehensive coverage of everything, NBL, not NBL.com.au, even though they do great things, the pickandroll.com.au, Damo, pickandrollau on social media as well. Until next time, when we'll actually have games to talk about next time, Damo.
We'll have games to talk about. We'll also have European season kicking off.
Yeah.
Of course, one of the guys, Ben Madgen, has already kicked things off, a former NBL star with the Sydney Kings. So things will be all underway within the next week.
Absolutely. And then in a couple more weeks, the big one, the NBA, kicks off again as well. So, Damo, thanks for joining me on another edition of the Pick and Pop podcast.
Speak next week.